Laura Kanoy here. Thanks for listening to The Exchange. You'll hear several viewpoints and many interesting questions in this hour from people all over the state. There's no other place in New Hampshire where such a broad array of Granite Staters chime in and foster such a robust exchange of ideas. And as important as you are to the depth of the conversation, you also play a pivotal role in NHPR's finances. We're radio for New Hampshire by New Hampshire. Please click the support button at the top of the page at nhpr.org. From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. In addition to its status as New Hampshire's capital city, Concord has a reputation as a tolerant, left-of-center, social justice-minded kind of place. And perhaps that's why a proposal to curb panhandling in Concord has stirred up so much debate. According to city councilors and local police, Concord is seeing an increase in men and women soliciting money, especially around major shopping areas. And at times, it's not just a matter of someone holding a sign saying, please help, or asking for spare change. Residents have reported being followed by panhandlers, being touched, and approached what they felt was an aggressive manner. And so earlier this year, the city council drafted a measure to place certain restrictions on panhandling, but crafting the right language was easier said than done, and Concord City councilors ran into the same concerns other New England cities have faced when looking at this, including Boston, Portland, and Worcester. Local officials have struggled to find the right balance between public safety and First Amendment free speech rights, along with the broader debate of whether panhandling is endemic of a larger poverty problem and the best way to approach that issue. Now, Concord's legal department is working on a new draft of a panhandling ordinance, hoping to present it in April. Today in The Exchange, handling panhandling in the Granite State. Let's hear from you. How does your community deal with people who beg for money? What do you think the right approach is? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests for the hour. With us in studio is Devin Chafee, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union. Before coming to New Hampshire, she worked in the organization's Washington office. Devin, it's good to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us, Chief John Duval, Chief of the Concord Police Department. He's been with the department for 27 years. And Chief Duval, it's nice to meet you too. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Chief Duval, just start off, what are you and the City Council worried about? What are you seeing and what are your concerns?
Well, in the last several months, I'd say probably the last 8 to 12 months, we've seen a dramatic increase in individuals soliciting money from the roadside, particularly in the area of our retail centers. And it's resulted in an increase in complaints from our citizens, not only to the police department, but to city administration and to our elected officials. And, you know, the concerns are broad and wide-ranging, from folks who feel uncomfortable about it, folks who don't like the look of it. And then there are other public safety concerns in terms of where these individuals are and the problems that it creates by their very locations. So it kind of brought the issue to the forefront, and we quickly realized that it was multifaceted. So that really was the initial start of this conversation in terms of Concord. We've always had individuals in the city in one way or another asking for help, but this past year was clearly different than past years for our city.
And tell us what the safety concerns are, Chief Duval, since obviously that's your primary concern. In terms of people don't like the look of it, or they feel uncomfortable, or they feel bad, there's not much you can do about that. But tell us what some of the safety concerns are, because other cities have struggled with this.
Well, like anything else, folks who are looking for money or for resources or whatever, they go to areas where they're most likely to get that, and that's in congested areas. And in the case of panhandling, as we call it, it's in areas where they have high volumes of traffic. So we've seen them at intersections, at corners where vehicles queue up, at red lights.
Like major shopping areas.
Yes.
Shopping centers.
And particularly in areas where there are multiple streets converging into one larger intersection where we may typically have accidents, or areas where traffic flow is important for the free flow of movement, so intersections don't get backed up. So those are the primary safety issues, if an accident occurs or actions that may be accident resulting or the potential for that.
What do you think, Devin? Clearly, panhandling in some instances is protected free speech, but when is it protected and when isn't it?
Well, I want to make clear that soliciting a handout is absolutely speech that is protected by the First Amendment, not the Constitution. So it is protected speech. What isn't protected is, violent behavior, threatening behavior, or causing a traffic hazard. And what we've seen is, under New Hampshire law already and under existing ordinances, those types of behaviors are already prohibited. So, threatening behavior in a public space or obstructing traffic or whether that traffic be pedestrian traffic or vehicular traffic, that's already prohibited under New Hampshire laws. And what we've seen in the past is other cities such as Manchester, such as Dover, other cities in New Hampshire have been able to use these existing laws to address issues if you have solicitors who are actually causing some kind of traffic problem. And these existing laws, what they do is instead of targeting solicitation, instead of targeting speech, they target the conduct that is actually creating some kind of threat or risk to the public safety. Really, whether the content of an individual speech, whether an individual is asking for a handout or trying to provide somebody with free religious material, really should be irrelevant when it comes to government regulation.
In Portland, Maine, which looked at this issue last year and came close to approving an ordinance, residents worried about panhandlers on the medians, like Chief Duval said, Devin, on busy city streets. One gentleman said he often saw panhandlers drunk, wandering in and out of traffic. That sounds like a public safety threat. It doesn't sound like protected free speech.
Certainly, somebody wandering in and out of traffic or walking into where the area of the streets where cars are driving, those types of behaviors are already prohibited under existing laws. But when you're talking about activities on in our public streets, on our public sidewalks, these are areas where the Supreme Court has recognized there is even heightened protection for free speech because these are areas that have traditionally been used for communication between citizens. And when we look at the types of ordinances that have been proposed thus far in Concord, they would prohibit a very wide range of solicitation activities. So we're not just talking about asking for a handout. These types of ordinances that we've seen that have been proposed thus far would prohibit setting up a lemonade stand on the sidewalk. They would prohibit things like softball car washes or firefighter fundraisers. So we're talking about a very wide range of largely innocuous conduct. And we're not even just talking about public areas. The revised ordinance that was proposed a couple of weeks ago at the city council would also apply to private property and prohibit solicitations from private property soliciting cars passing by. And that's why we've seen courts in other states, courts throughout the country have, in fact, struck down ordinances that are similar to those that have been proposed thus far in Concord because they're simply not narrowly tailored to address real issues of traffic safety and, in fact, reach a lot of innocuous conduct that really poses no risk to the public.
I know some of the thoughts that you're bringing up, Devin, were raised at city council meetings. I want to ask you about that in a minute, Chief Duval. But let me also invite our listeners to join us. Emails are coming in already. The email address is exchange@nhpr.org. Keep those emails short, please, exchange@nhpr.org, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. How does your community deal with people who ask for money on the streets? What do you think the right approach is, and what do you make of Concord's attempt to put some limits on how and where people can panhandle? Again, the number for you to join us with your thoughts, questions, comments is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page or email us, exchange@nhpr.org. And here's an email, both of you, from Eric. He says, panhandlers, really, how many panhandlers are we talking about in Concord? A dozen? Five? 100? Eric says, willing to bet it's a dozen or so, an issue that can be better handled on an individual basis rather than an ordinance. Chief Duval, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know that I disagree with that comment, and I appreciate Devin's comments as well, and I think the way the city council meeting went. And that public testimony on this very issue was almost an hour and a half. It was an hour and 15 minutes. So I think it shows that the importance of looking at this in a very deliberate fashion. You know, Devin had brought up some interesting points regarding existing laws, and we certainly do. One of them is disorderly conduct, where if an individual is obstructing traffic.
Wandering in and out of traffic.
Absolutely.
From a shopping center,
you know,
yeah.
And, or stepping into the roadway. There's an RSA where if an individual steps into the roadway to solicit money, there's already a law in place that makes that act of stepping into the roadway illegal, not the holding of the sign. But some of the constraints that law enforcement has in dealing, again, with the safety issue is unless we observe the stepping into the street, unless we observe somebody walking into the street, having the individual on the side, we would have to literally stake out that intersection and wait for the unsafe act to take place. And I guess the best comparison I could use is we have speed laws. And though our automobiles today can go well in excess of the speed limit and do so relatively safely, the act of speeding creates the potential of a safety issue. So there are laws in place to limit speed. And I kind of liken an ordinance to prohibit solicitation, whatever, whether it's a panhandler, whether it's for a charity, in certain areas that has the potential to create an increased likelihood that there's an unsafe situation that could develop. That's the tool, I think, that I'm looking towards to allow law enforcement to mitigate that safety issue.
Yeah, and so you're not saying no panhandling anytime, anywhere in Concord. You're saying there's certain areas where it's just not safe.
Absolutely. And you know, Devin mentioned firefighters and other folks like that. We're not looking to limit or prohibit any of those things, certainly. But if there was an individual, regardless if they were a homeless person or somebody trying to raise money, if they did so in an area that creates that has the potential of creating that safety hazard, that's really the issue. The homeless as the symbol of this problem is really one segment. And I think that's gotten a lot of attention. But clearly we've seen other areas where other folks have pushed the limits and we're kind of in a place where we can't adequately enforce that.
All right. Well, after a short break, we'll talk a lot more about this and take more of your calls and emails. Eric, thank you for that one. The email address is exchange@nhpr.org. The phone number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. More on this topic after we check in very quickly with our March membership drive.
Thank you, Laura. And hearing Laura Kanoy in the exchange and a fascinating conversation, if I do say so myself, is one of the reasons why you value New Hampshire Public Radio. So help keep the exchange coming your way by giving to New Hampshire Public Radio now during our March fund drive. You can do that online at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. I'm Keith Shields, executive producer of the show you're listening to right now, along with NHPR reporter Sam Evans-Brown.
And it is springtime. It's time to start thinking about vacations, getaways to wherever it is that you want to get away to. So when you make a gift today, you're going to be entered into the last two remaining drawings of this pledge drive, each for a pair of Delta Airlines round trip tickets that have been generously donated by Milne Travel American Express. Don't miss out. NHPR.org or 1-888-805-6477.
And if you support New Hampshire Public Radio as a sustainer for $10 a month, we will thank you with the Eaton Hand Crank Radio. All drive we've been giving it away for $20 a month, but we reduced the price yesterday because it was so popular, and because this $10 a month is so popular, we decided to do it again today. So if you went to bed kicking yourself that you didn't get in on this deal, well, you're waking up to good news today. At $10 a month, we will thank you with the Eaton Hand Crank Radio at 1-888-805-6477.
Now, we need to raise $3,500 in the next 40 minutes to stay on track, to finish the fund drive strong. We're working the overall countdown, $114,000 now left to go. We can make it. We can make it there with your help. NHPR.org and 1-888-805-6477. 1-888-805-6477. That's 1-888-805-6477.
Many of you don't listen to The Exchange just once or twice a year. You're regular listeners. You listen once a week, several times a week, maybe even every day. How about thinking about supporting New Hampshire Public Radio the same way? Spread it out as a monthly sustainer. You pick a modest amount, and that is billed to your credit card every month. So your contribution keeps giving to The Exchange and New Hampshire Public Radio all year. And that sustaining membership renews automatically. So we'll help you set that up when you give us a call at 1-888-805-6477, or you can set it up yourself online at nhpr.org.
Now, imagine that you listen 12 hours a week, and that's not unheard of. That would be about an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening, maybe on your way to and from work, maybe while you're getting breakfast or dinner ready. During those 12 hours a week, you're going to hear more than 100 different stories, features, interviews. That's dozens of items that help you understand the business and politics of our world. nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477 to pay for the listening that you do.
And help us raise the remaining $3,300 that we want to raise in the next 38 minutes to stay on track to bring you, $31,000 now in the next $3,100 in the next 31 minutes to stay on track to help reach our overall goal to get back to regular programming so that Monday we bring you an exchange that is fundraiser fee free. 1-888-805-6477 or online nhpr.org.
And we make giving super easy. All it takes is a contribution of $60 or $120 or whatever works in your budget and 2 minutes of your time. And if you give as a sustainer, you will be entered into all of the drawings in all of our fund drives from now until you decide to stop being a sustainer. It's so easy. Go online, nhpr.org, or call 1-888-805-6477.
And we have a special for one of our most popular thank you gifts, the Eaton Hand Cranked Radio. It's $10 a month as a sustainer. We will thank you with the radio. It's great. It has more stations than your normal radio, and it has different power sources so that if the lights go out, you can still listen to The Exchange and New Hampshire Public Radio. It even has an LED flashlight on it. Support New Hampshire Public Radio with a gift of $10 a month, and we will thank you with that radio. 1-888-805-6477 and $3,100 to raise in the next 38 minutes to help us stay on track and meet our overall goals. 1-888-805-6477, 3,000 to go, or nhpr.org. And thank you so much.
Support for NHPR comes from You Are Members and from Advice to the Players, presenting Shakespeare's Julius Caesar March 16th and 17th in North Conway, March 22nd through the 24th in Sandwich. Details at advicetotheplayers.org. And from Jaguar Exeter, introducing instinctive all-wheel drive on the 2013 Jaguar XJ and XF models. Enhance traction while retaining the authentic Jaguar driving experience. JaguarExeter.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, how to handle panhandling in Concord and elsewhere in New England. We've been looking at some draft ordinances in Concord about safety concerns concerning people asking for money at major intersections. We're looking at those concerns and taking your questions and comments. How does your community deal with people who beg for money? What do you think the right approach is? What do you make of Concord's attempt to put some limits on how and where people can panhandle? 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. You can post a comment on our Facebook page or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Our guests in studio are Chief John Duval. He's chief of the Concord Police Department. He's been with the department for 27 years. Devin Chafee is also here, executive director of the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union. Before this position, she worked with the ACLU's Washington office. And both of you, here's another email that just came in. This is from Sean in Manchester. He says, what makes a panhandler a citizen of Concord or New Hampshire? Do they pay taxes? Do they have a legal address? Sean says panhandlers are a public safety issue. It's just a matter of time before someone is seriously hurt. Two questions are out of Sean's email. And Sean, thanks a lot. First of all, Chief Duval, some people have told the city council that they feel like the increase in folks soliciting for money on the streets of Concord are not necessarily our homeless population or our poor population. What are you hearing about that?
Well, it's a combination. Certainly, there's a segment of the individuals who are panhandling who reside here, if you will, in one way or another in Concord. They're folks that we know. My officers have told me they have had interactions with individuals who have come up to Concord from other communities for one reason or another because of circumstances in their own town or city. They came to Concord to do this by way of motor vehicle. And in fact, during the last city council meeting, there was an individual who identified himself as a homeless individual who came to Concord because of our resources that we have here and mentioned several of them. So it was because of the resources that the city of Concord provides that brought him here, which is interesting. I've always thought we've had decent resources for our citizens who are in need and a network to get those resources to those people. And that's something I'm very proud of here in the city.
Is that a concern for the police that, I don't know how else to put it, that the group you're seeing now is not Concord's own, so to speak? It's not the people you know who've lived here for a long time and who are on hard times. It's folks coming in from out of town and out of state?
Well, it's a concern not so much for the act of panhandling because it would be the same as anybody else. But a lot of times we have seen and we have made arrests for individuals for unrelated circumstances, maybe warrants or other types of criminal activity where we were able to charge them with offenses or crimes that were not panhandling related, maybe assault type issues and things like that.
Devin, what do you think about the second half of Sean's email? He says panhandlers are a public safety issue. Somebody's going to get hurt. It is concerning when you're at a major intersection and you see folks standing there with a sign and traffic sort of gets stopped and started and so forth. Chief Duval said earlier that existing laws don't help his department with that. I wonder what you think.
Well, I thought that the chief's comment was, in fact, very interesting because what I heard him saying was that, in fact, there are only certain areas in Concord where this is actually a public safety issue. And if that's the case, if there are only one or two intersections where there's a high risk, and then it would seem to me that the police department should be able to focus its efforts to enforce existing law in only those areas. So this isn't a question of requiring the police department to necessarily, be everywhere at once. But, if they're concerned about people walking out in front of traffic or causing a traffic hazard in only particular spots, it would seem to me to make sense for the department to focus its efforts in those particular locations.
Given limited police resources, could you see, Devin, that it might be easier for the police to have this ordinance, and then they don't have to station themselves at Concord's, four major shopping areas? It's more proactive. They don't have to be there, see the bad behavior. It's prohibited by law.
Of course. I mean, it would be easier for the police if you just ban people from soliciting handouts altogether. And then it would be very easy for them to pick people up off the streets. But the bottom line is that would violate fundamental free speech protections and broad laws that just generally prohibit all solicitation are a violation of our First Amendment rights, and they're not the constructive way to deal with concerns about panhandling. I think you mentioned before, and I think you rightly identified that, as did the chief, that Concord is an incredibly compassionate community, and I really do think we should be able to come up with more constructive ways to address any concerns related to solicitations for handouts.
Again, our number here in the exchange for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Sean, thanks for that email. The number again is 1-800-892-6477. It's interesting, Chief Duval, that Sean emailed us from Manchester. According to the Concord Monitor, which has done a lot of reporting on this, the city of Manchester has decided not to draft a law. Police there say they deal with aggressive panhandling just using existing laws, such as Devin mentioned earlier, forbidding disorderly conduct, conduct that blocks the flow of traffic. What do you make of that approach, Chief Duval? Why not take that approach?
Well, I can't speak for the city of Manchester. Certainly, you know, their situation and dynamics are different. They are, you know, the amount of officers they have and resources is different. So Concord is unique in that fashion. And we've struggled with the trying to use the existing laws. And you know,
what's that struggle about? Is it that you have to see it to take care of it?
Well, in order to charge somebody with disorderly conduct, we would either have to observe the specific act that's outlined in that statute. Okay, so I'm paraphrasing, but for it to be disorderly, you have to obstruct the flow of traffic. So you need to see the act of that, or you need to have a complainant to say, "I observed it. I'm willing to be a witness in court." Those types of things. I appreciate Devin's comments regarding any ordinance or statute being overly broad. I mean, I'm a citizen of this city. I love my freedoms and my liberties as a citizen. So I have a great appreciation for that. But I think a finely constructed, focused ordinance that deals solely with the issue of safety would be a tool that law enforcement can use in as we pursue safety for our citizens, not only for motorists, but for those soliciting money. One area of concern, and there aren't many in the city. I mean, the comment that was made, I think it was Devin, that said, you know, it's not on every intersection of the city. Certainly it isn't. It's probably a half a dozen or so that I would consider ongoing. But it's in those areas that we've had accidents where vehicles in the intersection, by virtue of the accident, the vehicle goes left or right or over the median. And I just see having to put a police officer at an intersection watching for that disorderly conduct to happen would not be a good use of resources for my staff. And it's a tool that I think would be very, very beneficial towards mitigating this problem.
I want to ask you about that, Devin. But first, let's go back to our listeners. And again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Join us with your questions or comments at 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. How your community deals with people who are asking for money, sometimes at busy intersections, what you think the right approach is. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Here's a caller from Concord. This is Kay. Go ahead, Kay. You're on the air. Welcome. You know, Kay, I think we've been having some phone problems this week, so I would encourage you, Kay, to call back, and I do apologize for that. The phone number is 1-800-892-6477. Emails are coming in, too. Here's one from Barbara in Concord. How does Chief Duval think that an ordinance will affect the court system? Ordinances involve fines. How is a person who needs to panhandle going to pay a fine? How are they going to get to court? If they don't come to court, then they will be defaulted and subject to incarceration. Is this really the best way to handle this? Chief Duval, I'll give that to you, and then Devin, I got another question for you. Go ahead.
Well, fines is another area in the ordinance that's kind of morphed and changed as we go from draft to draft, and those are great points, certainly. Our goal isn't to find somebody out of this problem. In fact, By allowing us to intervene and using an ordinance, if it's somebody who is in need of resources, our goal is to provide access to those. In fact, my approach as a policy for the police department, if it comes to pass, is on our first contact with these individuals is not to cite them or charge them with a violation, but it's to provide a resource card to them.
Yeah, here's the homeless shelter. So, here's the friendly kitchen. Right. We can get meals and so forth.
So if their rationale to us is that I'm at this intersection because of this, we'll say, well, you can't do it at this intersection because of the safety issue. However, here is a card outlining some resources for you. So it's not prohibiting the solicitation or holding of the sign, that would not be prohibited. It would be at the particular location that they'd be at. And I think that's important to keep stressing, that it's a public safety issue, not only for the motorist, but for that individual as well.
So it's redirecting them to a better place to do it. And also, perhaps, if they're in dire poverty, giving them resources to turn to.
Precisely.
I do want to see if we can get Kay back up on the air. Hi, Kay. Thanks for calling back in. Go ahead.
Hi. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I have two comments. The first is, it's not just the individual that's holding the sign as a safety concern. It's the people that get out of their car at the intersection to dart between the cars to give them a couple of coins. I mean, it's really a hazard because the intersections that they're at are the four-lane ones each direction. There's a lot of traffic. And then when they're standing in the median, they're also not on a public sidewalk. They're in the median, which blocks visibility of the traffic. And, you know, it's just not a safe thing for the drivers. And then my second comment is, I have actually witnessed a panhandler that I was at one of the local stores in my car waiting, and the gentleman took his break, I guess, and got into the vehicle next to me where there was a woman sitting there knitting. They had their lunch, and then when they got out, he messed up his hair and went back to put on his little sad face and hold up his sign. I mean, some of it's not a valid reason to be panhandling.
So it looked more like the line of employment to you than dire need. Okay, that's
absolutely
what you're saying.
Absolutely. And ever since then, it's like I have a bad taste in my mouth about it. I don't like the look of it. I live in Concord. I think that it's at the major intersections as you enter the city. It just doesn't look good. It's not safe. And I really wish the city council would just ban it.
Okay, so I was going to ask you what you hope the city would do about this, and Kay, you're saying ban it altogether or just in certain intersections where it's dangerous? Because banning it altogether brings up free speech issues, as you've heard us talk about.
Right. No, I think that they are going to have to be as strict as they possibly can. I have a hard time believing that the median in between these intersections is a public sidewalk. It's not the same thing. If I sat there on my rocking chair reading a book, I'm sure I would be asked to leave by the police.
Okay, really, thanks. Thanks a lot for calling in. Devin, what do you think? Some real concern about the safety issues here. I wonder, and I'm not a lawyer or a legal scholar or a First Amendment expert, what's wrong with saying what Chief Duvall said? It's not that you can't panhandle in Concord, but you can't panhandle in these specific places because residents like Kay are really worried of safety.
Well, I think the problem with the approach that's being taken is that what it's targeting solicitation. It's not targeting the conduct that's actually resulting in a traffic hazard. So instead of going after individuals who are soliciting, instead of going after this people who are engaging in a certain type of speech, if you need to craft additional protections to avoid traffic hazards, then that should be done in a way that isn't targeting people based on the content of their speech. And I think that's where you get the First Amendment concerns. For instance, the ordinances that would be considered thus far wouldn't prohibit somebody from standing on a medium and passing out free religious material. And yet it would prevent somebody from standing on a medium and soliciting funds. And what that means is that you're actually targeting the content of the speech that the person is engaged in. And it also has the impact of stigmatizing and criminalizing the poor, the homeless, and oftentimes the mentally ill. And I would like to just quickly address Kay's concern about, you know, are these individuals homeless? Are they not? What are their situations? And I sort of have two things I want to say on that issue. One is that clearly some of these individuals are homeless. And I can say that because just this past week, I was talking to a man who was soliciting handouts in front of the Market Basket on Store Street. And just from looking at this individual, how leathery his skin was, how calloused his hand was when I shook it, there was no question that this man had been exposed to the element and was, in fact, homeless. But even for those individuals who may not be homeless, I just think we need to keep in mind that poverty and desperation takes many different forms and that we don't know what the situation may be for all of these individuals. But certainly some of them might be shifting from couch to couch. Some of them that I've spoken to have said that, you know, they're unemployed because it's the winter and construction jobs are sparse. There's a lot of different ways in which the type of desperation that leads somebody to beg in public, oftentimes for hours at a time in below freezing degrees, you know, it seems to me that there must be some level of desperation involved.
And we'll talk more about that angle, the poverty homelessness angle for sure. But we have to take a very short break. So we're to check in now real quickly with our March Fund Drive, and then we'll be right back.
Now, NHPR, it's your radio station. It's the one that wakes you up in the morning. It's the one that makes your commute a little more engaging. Think about this conversation right now that we're listening to on The Exchange. We're not legal scholars. We're not law enforcement officers, but we can bring those folks to you so that you can hear their expertise. Support that programming with your contribution. Give online now at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
That's 1-888-805-6477. And how about a gift of $10 a month? We will thank you with the Eaton Hand Crank Radio. All drive, we've been giving it away for $20 a month, but we reduced the price yesterday, and it was so popular that we're doing it again today. So you get another chance to get the Eaton Hand Crank Radio for $10 a month. Support New Hampshire Public Radio by giving us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
And when you do, you will help us to raise $2,000 in the next 18 minutes. That will help us stay on track toward this overall goal that we're trying to get to by Saturday at noon. $2,000 in the next 18 minutes. Oh, getting a little update now. $1,900 in the next 19 minutes. That's about a person a minute calling in, donating at sort of a typical level of about $10 a month as a sustainer. NHPR.org or 1-888-805-6477.
In honor of Pi Day, for all you math geeks out there, if you think of an hour as a circle, you only have about 0.6 pi left to go this hour to make that remaining $1,900. And remember that anybody who supports New Hampshire Public Radio today is in to win one of our two final drawings of the fund drive. Two round-trip tickets to anywhere in the continental United States for Delta Airlines. Only today, support New Hampshire Public Radio, 1-888-805-6477.
There is never a shortage of news, but it's your ongoing financial support that makes it possible for NPR and NHPR to cover all of the news in the way that you expect and depend on. It's a two-way street. You turn on the radio and you expect to hear the news, but we expect to hear from you during these fund drives, nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
Already two people on the line. Let's double that. Let's get on track. Let's make this goal. And for a gift of $10 a month, we'll thank you with the Eaton Hand Crank Radio. It gets more stations than your normal radio does. It has different power sources. So if the lights go out, the power goes out, you can still listen to New Hampshire Public Radio. It's even got an LED flashlight on it. 1-888-805-6477 to pick up your Eaton Hand Crank Radio, or you can learn more about it online, nhpr.org.
Now, the NHPR Fund Drive does end Saturday at noon. As I said before, there's $113,000 left to raise to meet our overall goal for the Fund Drive, but it's important to raise those dollars in little bite-sized chunks, $1,700 to go in the next 16 minutes. Now, that will help us pay our bills to NPR. We've got a $112,000 bill coming up in the next 3 months for Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Go online, nhpr.org. Help us pay for those national programs, 1-888-805-6477.
Now $1,600 in the next 16 minutes, $100 an hour, a minute that is. Make your gift today and you'll be entered to the last two remaining drawings of the pledge drive, a pair of Delta Airline tickets donated by Milne Travel American Express. Don't miss out on this. In honor of Pi Day, how about a sustainer gift of $31.40 per month in honor of Pi Day? That comes to about $377 to pay for the news, to support New Hampshire Public Radio, 1-888-805-6477. And thank you so much.
This is NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from Ascoma Savings Bank, serving the people in needs of the Upper Connecticut River Valley since 1899, online at mascomabank.com. And the Altus Investment Group in Concord, helping individuals in central New Hampshire manage their old 401ks and develop a personal retirement plan online at altusinvest.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, our weekly roundup of New Hampshire news. Email us your thoughts about some of the news events of this week before the program at exchange@nhpr.org. And join us tomorrow morning, live at 9. Today in The Exchange, proposals to restrict panhandling in Concord, some of the legal and social issues involved, and how other New England cities have struggled with this issue, finding a balance between public safety and free speech rights. What do you make of Concord's attempt to put some limits on how and where people can panhandle? How does your community deal with people who ask for money on the street? What do you think the right approach is? Join us with your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And let's go back to another call, if we could, Chief Duvall and Devin Chafee. And Marlene's calling from Concord. Hi, Marlene. You're on the air. Welcome. Marlene, go ahead. All right. I want to let everybody know we're having some phone problems, so this is not normal here in The Exchange. Marlene, I encourage you to call back, 1-800-892-6477. And Devin, I did want to ask you more specifically about how this ordinance might be crafted in a way that you think passes free speech muster. Would it be okay, Devin, for Concord to say no standing by anybody on these particular medians at these particular intersections? It's just too dangerous. Whether you're, you know, handing out coupons for your store or promoting a certain religion or soliciting for money, you know, medians X, Y, and Z are just too dangerous. You can't stand there and hand stuff out. Would that be okay?
Well, I think if the ordinance is crafted in such a way that it isn't targeting solicitations, that it's not targeting the speech, but it's simply targeting conduct and behavior that may be causing a traffic hazard. You know, I think that that's something that could quite well pass constitutional muster. But I think as long as these ordinances continue to target solicitations, you know, I think that there are going to be constitutional problems.
Because it's one type of speech.
And it's by targeting that type of speech and by targeting specifically people who are soliciting handouts, What the statutes are effectively doing is they are stigmatizing some of the most vulnerable populations in our communities. We know that, you know, there aren't statistics on exactly what this population is in Concord, but, you know, certainly some of them are homeless, some of them are poor, unemployed, and possibly mentally ill. And so what these statutes do is they criminalize and they stigmatize even further those vulnerable populations. And as a previous, I believe, someone who emailed in, I think it was Barbara, stated, you know, they also create fines. And the proposed ordinances that we've seen to date are these fines are up to $500. So you're asking somebody who has no income and who is begging on the street to then, because of that behavior, pay a $500 fine. It just doesn't seem like the most constructive way to deal with panhandling concerns.
Although Chief Duvall said that wouldn't be what they would do. They would, A, give the person information about resources, and, you know, B, tell them, you can solicit somewhere else, just not here at this busy intersection.
Well, then, you know, then if that's what they intend to do with regards to policy, then certainly any ordinance should reflect that. And it doesn't need to create a new misdemeanor. You can simply, that should, if that's the approach that's going to be taken, then that should be written into whatever the ordinance is. And that's not what we've seen to date.
What do you think, Chief Duvall? Two thoughts there. Yeah.
Well, I just excuse me. I just want to just a clarifying point that the ordinance itself wouldn't be a misdemeanor or criminal. It would just be a violation. So it wouldn't criminalize the behavior. And working in the trenches and close to the prosecutor's office is a practical matter, though the ordinance would be up to a $500 fine. Realizing an individual doesn't have the capacity to pay that, the money is not the driving force in terms of changing the behavior. The ordinance, like many other ordinances and laws, is a tool to deal with the offense and to stop the behavior. Certainly discretion would take place and I speak from experience that we have other laws in place and our officers use discretion based on the circumstances.
So the words up to are key. Up to a fine of $500,
yes.
But it could be $0.
It could include $0 with conditions that the person understands what the issue was. And I am very sensitive to the population by default who are engaging in these types of unsafe behaviors. And it's tragic. I think the greater issue here is the problem of homelessness, mental illness, substance abuse will continue. And until those types of issues are addressed adequately in our society, it's going to manifest itself into situations like the solicitation in these dangerous intersections that cause other safety problems.
And I want to ask you about that, because that's underlying here, the idea of homelessness, joblessness, poverty, and so forth. But would a reasonable compromise, Chief Duval, be no solicitation, no standing, no activity on these particular intersections by anybody? Then that way you're not targeting one type of speech. You're just saying, look, folks should not be hanging out in these particular medians, in these particularly busy intersections. Is that a reasonable compromise?
Well, what's interesting is it's almost going to sound like I'm taking her point of view at this point, because folks that are just standing in certain areas, now in the median, I'm going to say is completely unsafe, but let's say on the side of the road, for example, where somebody is making a proclamation, but the message isn't enticing a motorist to exit their vehicle.
It's that interaction.
To give something. And solicitation of money or something of value is what's causing that unsafe act. I don't know that just holding a sign, not requiring any motorist to do anything, would be inclusive of that broader problem. I hadn't considered it prior to this conversation.
Yeah. Well, handing out religious material, for example, okay, that's not a solicitation, but that does involve an interaction between motorist and person on the corner.
And if that happened, I would agree that it's the unsafe situation that would cause, though we're not seeing that as the problem in the city.
So it's behavior, not speech per se, that you're worried
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And in Concord, we see various speeches. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when Westboro Baptist Church came to Concord and with very, and personally, in my opinion, very offensive messaging. But we, as
that's the church that's against, has a very strong anti-gay message.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, it is. And as a police department, we extended them every right and protection as anybody else. In fact, they wrote the police department after saying that it was their experience. They thanked us for protecting their rights as well. So we, as best as we can, we take an unbiased approach to protecting our citizens, and that's our concern here as well.
Well, and I've got lots of emails that have come in. We only have a couple minutes left, and I'd love to share some of these with you. I'll throw this one, I think, to you, Devin. This is from Peg in Concord. First, I don't understand how banning panhandling is an infringement on freedom of speech. Secondly, I don't understand why these folks aren't utilizing the resources the city offers. Most of Concord citizens support the resources that the chief mentioned. These, again, are the friendly kitchen for meals and the homeless shelters and so forth. Peg says, I feel that the money I donate to these resources is better spent than handing out money out the car window. There are obvious scams going on at these intersections. The average citizen has no way of knowing who really is in need. I think we need to support the chief in whatever way he sees as the best solution to the problem. What do you think, Devin?
Well, I think Peg makes a couple of points, and I want to take perhaps her second point about, you know, where her resources could best go or where people want to donate their funds. Certainly, people have the absolute freedom to choose not to contribute to panhandlers, to people who are soliciting handouts on the streets, and they have every right to instead contribute, as many in Concord do very generously, to organizations like the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness or the Homelessness Resource Centers or many of the other services that are provided in Concord. And certainly the residents of Concord have every right to decide that that's where they believe that their money is better spent. But the bottom line is that soliciting a handout, asking for help, is in fact a form of speech, charitable solicitation that is in fact protected by the First Amendment, by the Constitution, and our sidewalks and our streets are incredibly important areas for individuals to exercise their free speech. So this activity, even if it may at times make us feel awkward, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable, these individuals have the right to engage in this type of expression, and it's protected by, you know, some of our most fundamental constitutional protections.
All right. Well, both of you, we could talk a lot more. I've got a couple more emails that I didn't get to this morning, but I have to close it out. Devin Chafee, Chief John Duval, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. Let's check in now with our March Fund Drive.
NHPR, it's your radio station. It's the one that wakes you up in the morning. It's the one that gives you great local issues like the one we just heard with Laura Kanoi on The Exchange. I'm Sam Evans Brown. I'm here with Keith Shields. Go online to support NHPR, nhpr.org, or 1-888-805-6477.
Sam, we have $1,000 to raise in the next 4 minutes to get to our goal to make sure that we stay on track. Actually, now $900 in the next 4 minutes to support New Hampshire Public Radio. How about a sustainer gift of $10 a month? If so, we will thank you with the Eaton Hand Crank Radio. We reduced that from $20 a month to $10 a month yesterday, and we're bringing it back again today because it was so popular. Support New Hampshire Public Radio with a sustainer gift of $10 a month at 1-888-805-6477 or online nhpr.org.
We do need to raise $900 in the next 4 minutes, $900 in the next 3 minutes and 20 seconds. You can do your part, nhpr.org. It will help us end this drive strong. We're hoping to finish this out by noon on Saturday. So do your bit. Head online, nhpr.org, or call 1-888-805-6477.
NHPR brings you to the four corners of our country, bringing you news from L.A. to Seattle to Tallahassee to Portland, Maine. And now when you make your gift today, you'll be entered into the last two remaining drawings of this pledge drive, each for a pair of Delta Airline tickets to anywhere in the continental United States. They're round-trip tickets and donated by Milne Travel American Express. So we're bringing new meaning to taking you to the four corners of the country. Support New Hampshire Public Radio now, and you could possibly win these last two drawings of our pledge drive. 1-888-805-6477.
We need to raise $800 in the next 2.5 minutes. That money is so important. NPR, it costs us here at NHPR $344,000 every year. We don't expect